Coming up on Patriots This Week. Perhaps it was the holiday spirit. After the win versus the Jaguars, Bill Belichick found the silver lining.
They stepped up and made the plays. That's one of those plays we need to make to win.
But two players were seeing one of the colors of the season, red.
I mean, we played pretty terrible out there, so
this wasn't good enough.
You know, bad 60 minutes football. Got out-competed out there.
Now the season finale, with the opportunity to get primed for the playoffs.
Going forward playing like this, we'll be lucky if we win ball game.
And after this week, winning games is the only guarantee to playing the next week.
This is a time for us to be at our best.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Stopwatches are for Olympic gymnasts and figure skaters. When it comes to the NFL, it doesn't matter if you win ugly. A win is a win is a win. I'm Gary Tagway filling in for Scott Zolak, who's on a beach somewhere in Florida, no doubt with a Christmas bow on his forehead. And I'm joined by the guys who really carry the show, former Patriot running back Patrick Pass and Matt Chatham. Guys, it's been such a weird month, I think, for the Patriots, because you had the Houston game where they looked great. You had the Miami game at the big beginning of the month where they won ugly. And then you had a half against the Niners where they didn't play well. And then you had this Jacksonville game. So, I mean, based on what you saw with that Jacksonville game, what do you think of this club right now?
Well, I think consistency is probably the thing they're aiming for. I think there were errors and good play in all three of those contests. I think some of the things they did well in the first half against Houston hid some of the problems that creep back up in the second half. But then in the San Francisco game, it was just such an atrocious poor start that, you know, some of the good play they had in the second half gets overshadowed. I think the Jacksonville game is a lot in that same regard, where there were three or four good sustained drives. There were a lot of red zone stalls, but there were, and defensively there were just those few big plays that were given up, and then but they also played well in the red zone. So I think the thing they're working towards right now is consistency. That's been lacking. I think they understand that's what they're going to need.
You know, the thing, Patrick, is as I get up Sunday morning, and I'm basically a football nerd, so it's like I'm playing. So like when, you know, it's a big game, I start to get all tingly, you know, my palms get sweaty, and then but with Jacksonville, I was like nothing. So if I felt that way, like this is no big deal, people didn't even want to talk about the game. How does a player get up for it?
It's easy, I mean, because these guys know exactly what they're fighting for. They know if they play flawless football, they have a chance to go back to the Super Bowl. And that's one thing they need to do is just go out there and play Patriots football. And that was Jacksonville's Super Bowl game right there. You have to understand, they were 2-14, but that was their Super Bowl game. And the team like New England, I mean, teams just not going to lay down because they have a, you know, they're wearing a Patriots uniform. You know, they have to go out there and play a 60-minute football game, and they – obviously, they went out and played well enough to win.
If you're a defensive coordinator, Matt, you're going against Brady. Is it just, I got to hit him? If I don't hit him, I don't play physical, we have no shot?
Well, you always try to get Tom off the spot. I think that's the general, the word that everyone sort of gravitates toward that has to be on the other sideline. I've been there where he can't step in to throw. So there is, Jacksonville's a team on tape who didn't do a lot of line stunts, and they were pretty much straight ahead rushers. They start the game because they need to get in his lap. They need to make him get off the spot. I think physical play, not so much. In that, you know, you look at some of the errors that they had in that Jacksonville game, I wouldn't attribute them to physical plays. There, a lot of them are just simple mental errors or physical execution issues. They actually had the second series, the Patriots series, that just went down, but then the drive stalled. It runs of, I believe, 16-9-7-1. I mean, they were at two. They were, it was pretty iterative, right down the field. Good stuff, good physical play of their own. So I don't think teams have necessarily matched them physically. I just think they've sort of hit that part of their season where they're starting to make errors that they saw the other people make so much themselves.
Yeah, I have this theory, and you guys could tell me if I'm crazy about Brady right now. I think Brady in the locker room is almost on the same level as Belichick when it comes to intimidation with other players. Is it a situation when he goes into the postgame press conference and he says, we were outcompeted, some of the younger guys go, uh-oh, he's not going to be very happy with us, you know? Do players, like, try to please Tom the way they try to please the coach?
Well, you know, you always want to try to please your captain. I mean, he's the captain of that ship. Whatever, you know, if Tom's going in the right direction, then the team is obviously going in the right direction. And you want to be on Tom's good side, especially if you're a receiver. Because if he can't trust you, you're not going to get in the balls.
Yeah, well, okay, but what about, I mean, what was it like to get chewed out? We've heard the legend. We've heard Brady chew guys out in practice.
But Tom does
What's
that
it like
if you win. If you win, he's the same way.
Right.
You know, he's just a guy that loves to play the game of football. I mean, he's very competitive, so. I mean, win or lose, you're going to get the same time.
I think it was important, though, that we saw sort of a different tact in postgame, the chew out in the locker room that we all heard about, because there are other games where there have been errors. They got away with one this week. I think they're understanding who the opponent was sort of elevates that conversation. But if you look, you know, we went back to the Miami game where I think generally the media version of the story was that it was a really ugly game, a great final drive, but hey, shouldn't we expect more of that kind of thing? And they kind of took the position that, you know what, it was a tough game, actually a great game. We felt great about it. Now, if they'd have taken that same stance after this one, I think, you know, Tom sort of understands the exigency of the situation.
Did you ever get chewed out by Brady? Give me something.
We all did.
Come on, give me one. Nothing? Nothing off the top of your head?
I really can't remember. I mean, because it would have to do a lot of bleeps in here. But, you know, but like I say, when he speaks, you get the message.
Are you concerned with the offensive line? Because Tom, and you can't go by sack numbers. He's been hit a lot this month. Is that an issue for you?
No, not at all. Because those guys, you know, you have those guys can play anywhere. You know, from the right tackle to right guard to left guard, they're interchangeable. So it's not. I just think that, you know, those guys just need to sustain the blocks a little bit longer and let Tom, you know, look down the field a little bit longer and throw the ball.
I think the thing that's happened a little bit in these last few weeks, and I think it kind of crept in Houston, is that teams have started to game them a little bit more. They've started to go with the confusion element. It's not overloading blitzing per se because you're not getting 6 and 7. What they're doing is adding guys in a line and then dropping them out to try to create confusion. The pick game that we saw with Watt that he's always so good with, you know,
same thing San Fran did
San
with
Fran with Alden Smith and the other Smith kid. They do the pick games and U games. Jacksonville put that in their system because it's not something they do because it looks like it hurts them. Because you're really winning more on winning one-on-ones through confusion as opposed to schematically overloading things. So they found new ways, so the Patriots have to respond to that. I think the Patriots' protections actually get better as the game goes on because it's one of those things where you need to see it once or twice. Yeah. You hope you don't get them killed till the time,
right.
By the time you figure it out.
It's all game plan, so it's all about making adjustments on the sideline and at halftime.
You almost have to be perfect as a running back not to take any heat around here. When you look at the numbers for Ridley by the end of the year, if this guy has close to 300 carries and has only fumbled 4 times, those are very good numbers. But here, Patrick, he's under the microscope. Do you think that we've been too hard on Stephen Ridley?
Well, it depends on the situation and the game situation and where we are in the game. I mean, it happens as a running back. It happens.
To the great ones.
The San Francisco game, the weather condition, it was miserable out there. And I can understand what he was going through. He was trying to fight for, you know, those extra yards, and sometimes you get a lot of running backs in trouble.
Ridley was known when he came in and was recruited as a pretty upright runner. You know, he's not Adrian Peterson per se with the physical skills, but he has that upright style and kind of that violent hitter.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ball will come out on guys like that. It's sort of an expectation or a risk that you take on when bringing a guy like that in.
He's a wild guy.
I think the only issue would be when you have put it on the ground and gotten away with it, as he did early in the San Francisco game, the play that was reviewed and they gave it back,
right.
Then you need to sort of change sort of your persona. You know, you need to be a two-hand guy. You need to be Tom Rathman in the hole.
I don't know about you guys, but I didn't think the Patriots would be playing for anything this week. And I think what's great for a Patriot fan is you're comfortable because you know that they're in the postseason, but you don't know where they're going to be. And they still have the shot at the number one seed. We'll talk about this very interesting playoff picture coming up next as Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
The Putnam Player Spotlight this week is on Patrick Chung. It has been a frustrating season for the 5'11", 210-pound safety. Injuries have kept the Patriots' second-round pick in the 2009 draft on the sideline. But with a depleted secondary against the Jaguars, Chung stepped up with 2 red zone interceptions, preserving a too-close-for-comfort win. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
And welcome back to Patriots This Week. I'm Gary Tanguy for Scott Zolak. Time for our favorite part of the program, Rants and Raves. And let's start with you, Matt. Now, the Jaguars coach Mike Malarkey had a problem with the Patriots when they illegally forced Zach Potter to jump. He was talking about the cadence, was talking about movement. Sour grapes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I went back and watched the TV copy. I was trying to figure out what he was talking about. I remember watching it live and thinking, wow, great shift. You know, and they often do this in short yardage. Vince will do a full line shift with the idea that we got nothing to lose. It's, you know, it's and goal. We have a yard to go. If we can get 5 free ones here, great. But I don't know what he's talking about because from the audio portion of the TV copy, all you hear is the move call. You hear everyone move, and you see the guy flinch on the move. And then he just continues on thinking, I've been moved. I just need to go on with my forward movement. But there was no other audible, thing, like calling out the whatever it seemed like. Mike Mularkey said he was making line calls or something like that.
I didn't hear the cadence call,
but you can't hear it on the tape. And the shift that they did throughout the game. So I have no idea what it is.
I do not believe in the Houston Texans. I haven't all year. I didn't before they came here to play the Patriots. I think they're on the – even though the Colts don't have anything to play for, they got their coach back, which means a lot. I think Houston can lose this game. They've dropped two of their last three. What do you think? And I think the problem is their coach. I think you represent your coach. I mean, what do you think about the Texans? I think they're soft.
It's just something about the second half of the season with the Houston Texans that, they've become underachievers. I'm not sure what program they're running over there, but, I mean, to lose two of the last three games is just like, and to be called or labeled the best team in the AFC or the National Football League is unheard of.
I disagree a little bit with the soft label. I guess my thinking would be, the Houston actually came out and made a similar number of errors in their first half against the Patriots that the Patriots made against the Niners the next week. They, Patriots did show a little bit better rally in their second half than Houston did the week prior. But if you look, to me, to sort of fill that soft meme, you'd have to go with them sort of folding the next week. They just got blown out.
Well, that's true.
They went back home and played Indy in what would have been sort of a do-die, and actually looked really good. I think the issue they have is they're so run-game dependent. I mean, play action means more to them even, I think, than the Patriots do. Arian Foster went out with the flu last week. They couldn't establish much in the first half, and they just don't look very good.
Denver and Kansas City. Now, I heard a great theory from one of your old teammates, Troy Brown. Is Bill Belichick going to be coaching Kansas City, too, this week in this game?
He's probably going to be coaching Kansas and
the Patriots. Yeah, so
well, three teams on one weekend.
But here you go. I mean, you've got Bill and you got the Romeo connection with Kansas City, so Bill can get on the horn with Romeo and help him out with Denver. Is that necessary, or do we embellish that stuff?
Yeah, I think that's embellished. I think there's conversation always, even when they don't need it. So
right.
There's often, if there's a thread from a week prior and you have a buddy and all of them have their own trees and they have buddies, they make those calls. There's some value in it. I think the biggest thing you have is game tape, and everyone's got that. So if you can go back and find out what the pattern's been in the last two or three weeks, that's all you really need.
Now, the Steelers, you hate the Steelers.
Hate them.
And they're out of the playoffs.
So happy.
Oh, tell us
why.
My
Christmas, my birthday. I'm telling you. It goes back to 2001. I'm not holding a grudge, and I shouldn't be, but they don't respect anything that we do in Foxborough. They really don't. And I can remember the AFC Championship game 2001 when Amos Zeroway, I'm going to call his name out, number 21, Amos Zeroway. We was out in our pregame warm-up, and I was kicker. We was doing the kickoffs, and I returned a few kicks in the pregame. And I saw Amos Zeroway run across the field and kick the ball off the tee. I just felt that was one of the biggest disrespect that anyone could do in the history of football.
The Patriots have been winning ugly lately. We will look ahead to this Sunday's opponent, the Miami Dolphins, as PTW continues.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. In this week's video breakdown, we're going to take a look at the most explosive player on a Miami Dolphins offense that's not so explosive, and that's Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush here on the tape is one of the NFL's premier bounce-out cutback runners. He's a guy that always threatens the edge. In this particular situation, it's an issue of not squeezing the edge, keeping the C-gap small, because he'll actually go in and then back out. There's other ways to get to that edge, and Reggie will show it here. On this instance, you've got an overhang player. A guy like Chandler Jones will be for the Patriots, who peaks. He takes a look inside, gives up his run lane integrity, and then it's punt return time for Reggie Bush, really what his roots are. He's a bounce-out guy, but he's tough to get on the ground. And on this next clip, you'll see the other way he can beat you, which is in and out. He'll bounce out and cut back, and then he breaks tackles. So the inside integrity, the outside integrity, the tackling integrity, the run lane integrity, all things we saw last week in Jacksonville, they're going to have to be good this week against a guy like Reggie.
Since Bill Belichick became the head coach of the Patriots here at Foxborough, he's lost eight times in December, and three, believe it or not, have been to the Dolphins, who, as we all know, if you were a Patriot fan from the beginning, you know the Dolphins have just always been a pain in the neck to the Pats. Now, Matt, Joe Philbin, I think, has done a great job. As soon as Ocho Cinco, great guy, but when he said, look, it's not working, time to move on, you could tell that he was establishing a way of doing business with Miami. 7-8, pretty good defense, headed in the right direction, dangerous team on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're... they're one of the top defenses in the league as far as scoring, which is means you're one of the top defenses in the league. The other stuff doesn't matter.
Right.
And in my view, what we saw down there in Miami is a lot of what I think the game will be as far as tempo here. The one thing the Patriots didn't do up there is they didn't spread them out as much. So we know this well. From when you look at a game plan, when you play a team twice, they often don't match each other at all. It looked like an entirely different team.
You hold back a lot of the information.
Yeah. And if you look at Miami from last week against the Bills, they actually have come out and I maybe watched what Jacksonville did to the Patriots last week, and they came out against Buffalo, and they were in spread. I mean, they were in four and five receivers. Tannehill was in the gun all game, and the Patriots didn't see that. It was basically a regular defense game last time.
Tannehill has completed 58% of his passes. They've had a hard time finding a quarterback. Have they found one, Patrick, in Miami?
I think so. I mean, you got Mike Sherman who come over from Texas A&M who's running the offense down there, and then Tannehill was a quarterback in that offense. He just, you know, if you get the guys some receivers that are around him, I think he'll be a pretty good quarterback in this league.
And Devon Bess has been down. Brian Hartline has been sort of a hidden gem, although I don't think he would consider him a top-line guy.
I don't think they have a true number dangerous. One receiver yet.
I think their biggest issue is, though, they don't have a stable. They don't have multiple people to go to. And they just lost Daniel Thomas, the draft pick running back that was sort of their two-horse thing in the backfield. So now you've made Reggie Bush basically the only guy that's going to get legitimate carries.
And he's good, but he's not. He had two touchdowns last week, but he's not a full-time back, right?
I think Reggie Bush can be a full-time back because of the things that he can do on the field. I mean, he's like I think of Reggie Bush, he reminds me of a Marshall Faulk because of the things that he can do in the passing game as well.
See, I think he's mediocre, and I know that's odd, but I think he's exceptional, maybe one of the best in the league once you get the ball in his hands. But when you watch plays with him, if you run just trap plays and counter plays and interior type stuff.
That's not his style.
I know. But they run those plays. They run those plays, and he's pretty mediocre in that environment. When they get the Reggie plays, he's phenomenal, and he's very tough out in space.
They're six when it comes to giving up points. Again, I agree with you. It's the only stat that matters.
Right.
And the five above are playoff teams. Yeah. Are you worried about this defense getting to Brady, being physical, knocking down the quarterback?
I mean, that's something that, you know, the Miami Dolphins have been extremely, you know, great at since I've been playing with them. I could remember one game that we beat Miami and Tom Brady had 72 yards passing. That was with Pat Surtain what's the other cornerback?
Sam Madison.
Sam Madison. Yeah.
I mean, 72 yards passing. I was like, wow, this defense. Miami. Every time we, you know, you see them on the schedule, you already know that okay, it's gonna be a dull fight.
Well, I think it's a nice rematch for this team because you'll remember Sebastian Vollmer was having the back problems and just came back from the first time and had to face Cameron Wake. I mean, that's tough. And Cameron had a pretty decent day, but Sebastian has picked it back up. He's healthier again now and is doing a great job. It'll be interesting to watch that matchup as far as keeping Tom clean.
We'll wrap it up with the guys next. Prediction time as PTW continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with this year's 17th and final edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. We start with Justin Blackmon, who will close out his rookie season by tearing up the Titans. He has four TDs on the year, including one against Tennessee. Meanwhile, with Cincy locked into a sixth seed and facing the hungry Ravens, look for a down week for Bengals QB Andy Dalton. He's thrown one TD and four picks in his career against the Ravens. This week's sleeper, the Panthers' D'Angelo Williams against the Saints. Hope you've enjoyed a fun year of the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
The last time the Patriots took on the Dolphins here at Gillette Stadium, they were down by three scores, but they rallied and they won the ball game 27-24. So, Matt, are we going to see something similar this time around?
Yeah, I don't think so. Predictions are guessing. I'm not very good at that, as we can see from last week's. But I'm going to go with Patriots 34-20. I'm going to go with the non-X's and O's answer. I just think that emotionally what Tom did to the team, the way they're having to refocus this week, and what they have in front of them will be a bigger factor in the game.
What do you think, Patrick?
I'm going 35-17. And the one big reason why is because the weather's going to be in favor of New England Patriots. It's going to be snowy.
I think the Patriots are going to win easily this weekend, 34-17 over the Dolphins. I think they have the need to go into the playoffs strong, make sure they have a strong regular season finale. And I also I'm hopeful that the Colts will defeat the Texans and the Patriots will have a shot at that number one seed. So thank you for watching Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham and Patrick Pass, I'm Gary Tanguay, and for Scott Zolak, have a happy new year.